Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It's the world famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, so they don't. And we are very happy to have you with us. Don't forget that a backstage pass to our website, philhendryshow.com, you're not only listening to the show as you are right now, you are watching the show as you may on Phil TV and HD. And of course, you have all of the podcasts and access to an enormous archive, some, I don't know, 15 years, you know, 13 years worth of material, philhendryshow.com. Go on over there tonight, get a backstage pass and watch our video cast. And of course, we do have a full list of all of our affiliates that you can access us on as well. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and tonight we want to start off with a story that it's an interesting story from the standpoint of just the facts themselves. We also have Mr. Don Parsley is going to join us. He himself had experienced something like this, and that is escaped from a state prison, because we have a story tonight of a David Glenn Hobson is said to have escaped the Carroll County House of Corrections in Ossipee, New Hampshire, near the Maine border. He's an escaped prisoner. He's thought to be armed and dangerous and possibly out for revenge against two individuals. He scaled the razor wire fence on Thursday of last week. He's holding a grudge against two people, according to the Maine State Police spokesman Stephen McCausland. We warned them early, and we believe that they are now in a safe place. Mr. Hobson should, if he could and would, turn himself into authorities where he'll be safe. And so this can come to an end, said authorities. The expense that has gone into this and the stress, particularly to his family, can also end, said one of the marshals, a U.S. federal marshal, obviously, who's looking for him. Don Parsley joining us. Don, how are you tonight?
I'm real good, Phil. Thank you.
You're familiar with this, huh?
Yeah, I'm a little bit familiar with it. I had myself walked away from a work camp in Stark, Florida, some number of years ago. And
now, when you say you walked away, were you chained? Did they have a...
We had leg chains, yeah, but I had found a way to jimmy one of the links off, and that was a part of an overall escape plan that had been hatched by some of the prisoners that didn't go according to plan, and I was the only one that was able to use a... what it turned out to be a kind of a lever of a crowbar type device that broke the chain, because I noticed that this one chain had been welded improperly. So
was this something that you had planned for a long time?
Not really. I mean, I'd just been let in on the details of this thing, and when it come time to make it happen, I was the only one that got out.
So you walked away from this work gang, and where did you go?
Well, I hid mostly for the first probably 2 days. I was able to conceal my movement. And
what did you eat?
Not much of anything, really. I was able to get water. And to be honest with you, I found a garage full of a garage in a local residential area. It had a bag of dog biscuits that I literally stuffed my pockets full of.
You ate dog food, huh?
Yeah, dog biscuits. Yeah.
Milk bones?
Something like that, yeah. But that's kind of how that went. But then I was captured probably within about the next day or day after. Someone had spotted me, and I saw a Florida Highway Patrol. They saw me, they spotted me, and that was that.
Where did they catch you?
I was probably about 3 miles away from the camp, and I had gone behind this store. I was looking for something to eat in the dumpster there. I mean, I'd gotten how bad it was, and I believe someone had saw me, and they called the police. By the time I come around the side of the building, there was a local police, I think it was a local sheriff, and then come the Highway Patrol, or Florida Trooper, and then Florida Department of Law Enforcement.
So what do you think of this, Don? This man who's escaped from New Hampshire and is out on the run, and he wants revenge. Was that what you were? You weren't looking for that, were you?
No, I was just.
What were you doing in prison?
I'd been arrested for controlled substance for sale. It was marijuana.
So you were drug dealing?
Well, no, because it was really not my drugs. It was delivered to me. It had my name on it. It was mailed to me, to be honest with you, and I was arrested for taking delivery of this. I told them that this had something more to do with an ex-wife of mine than me, but they didn't.
Well, I mean, are you saying that you were not dealing drugs?
I'm not saying that I was not dealing drugs. I would not. I want to go that far, but the way it happened, there were probably a lot more people, much, much worse than me, should have gone to prison. They didn't. I was the one that took the full rap, and all I was doing was taking delivery. And I was going to transport this to a friend's house. So, you know, if you say, you know, I wasn't...
Well, you all right, well, they got you for your possession with intent to sell because there was so much of it, right?
Yeah, pretty much, and I had a lot of people lie about, you know, me on the stand. And
that's why, though, I ask you if there was a reason that you wanted to get out other than, you know, just wanting to get out. Was there a revenge factor?
No, not... I was, you know, at that point, I just wanted to get away from prison, you know, and see if I could do it. I probably, in my heart of hearts, knew I was going to get caught, but I, you know.
So how much time did they add to, what was your initial sentence?
I got 5 years, and they added, another, pretty much doubled it. They added another 4 years, I don't know what it was, 7 months.
And so they doubled your prison time?
Yeah, you know, and...
So, not a bright move, huh?
Well, it would have been if I'd have gotten away with it, but, you know...
Well, yeah, it's true. Coulda, shoulda, woulda, I guess is...
Yeah, but I think that, you know, I probably wouldn't do it again, but if I ever go back to prison, which I tell you right now I'm not gonna, but I wouldn't do it again, but I felt like, you know, if I hadn't been... A lot of times, you know, I wouldn't even be in prison if it wasn't for... this one ex-wife that I was telling you about, and then I don't think I would have been caught if it wasn't for some old lady who saw me. But that's just, you know, so that's why I'm interested in this story, you know, because this guy has escaped, and he's looking for, they say he's looking for revenge, and I don't think that's such a good thing. I'd like to, it would be great if I could talk to him myself, you know, because I've been where he is, you know.
But he's burning with some sort of a revenge, according to authorities.
Well, I mean, I you know, you do get upset, you know, like that old lady that turned me in. You know, I was just going through the dumpster looking for something to eat.
Well, see, that old lady turned you in after you had escaped.
Yeah, but...
It's the same thing?
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. I mean, I didn't want to hurt her or anything, but I to this day, I feel a grudge against her for... saying what she did, and then I still have a grudge against my ex-wife, you know, for saying I was a drug dealer. I wasn't a drug dealer. She was the one that was drug, you know, dealing drugs and everything.
Well, all right, so you understand sort of what this guy's feeling, this grudge. What would you say to him?
Well, I would just try to talk him out of it. I would probably need, you know, access to a car. I'd be able to go and confront this guy or talk to him wherever he is, and some kind of transportation and other supplies and everything. I mean,
Well, I mean, have you offered this to the authorities?
I've called the Maine State Patrol, but I also wanted to get on a radio show here and say to him, you know, whoever this guy is, name's Hobson.
Yeah, the man's name's David Glenn Hobson.
That I've been where you are. I know how it feels to, you know, really want to be, you know, pissed, you know, excuse my language.
Go, that's okay, go ahead.
Well, be really pissed off at somebody, and you got to just kind of let it go.
Now, let's talk a little bit here, if I could, Don, and we're talking to Don Parsley, a man who escaped from a work gang in Florida, but was captured in a couple of days, and he had a, you know, an extended jail sentence because of that, a prison sentence. Don is with us here. Our number, by the way, 877-876-PHIL, and we're talking about this man, David Glenn Hobson, who's escaped from a New Hampshire prison. And the question that I have is, this guy is said to be holding a grudge against two individuals. and he is said to be dangerous. So I'm going to have to assume that the grudge that this man is holding against these individuals is such a, is such that he would do them physical harm. And, you know, that can't be too pleasant a prospect. Now, is that the kind of grudge you're talking about?
Right. You know, I had an old lady when I was going through a dumpster behind that 7-Eleven looking for food, and now an old lady picks a phone up and calls the police. All I was looking for was something to eat. You know,
well, but see, you're holding a grudge about someone that turned you in after you escaped.
That's true, but nonetheless, the effect is the same. I was out, a free man, and then she did something to change that, and I didn't do anything to her. I wasn't going to hurt her. All I was doing was looking through it. I mean, if you can imagine looking through a dumpster looking for something to eat, and this old woman calls. So I felt, you know, I was angry. And as they took me back to prison, they asked me, you know, what was I thinking? And I said, all I can think about is that old lady. I said, you say that was an old lady? They said, yeah. I said, old lady, you know, is that, there's a Frank Zappa song. I don't know if you ever heard it. It's called Old Lady. And,
all right, but did you mean any harm? Did you mean to hurt that woman?
No, I didn't, but I was just burning with anger that, no, I didn't want to hurt her. No, but I did want to get out and just ask her why she would do that. Just confront her that way, that's all.
All right, so Don, what you'd like to do is you'd like to talk to this man, Mr. Hobson, and what could you do for him?
I can neutralize, I think. I know what's in his heart and why he's angry, and I could neutralize that by talking him down from it, because we've had a similar, you know.
Yeah, but this is a guy that's armed, dangerous, and it looks like he wants to kill. You don't want to kill that old woman.
No, I don't want to kill the old lady. I just wanted to say to her, look what you did.
Okay, but that's not exactly the same thing. You see what I'm saying?
No, it's not the same thing.
Because this guy wants to, according to police, he may find these people who did him wrong, and he may want to hurt them. And you don't want to hurt the old lady, other than, you say old lady, by the way, is that, you know who that was?
Yeah, it was an old lady. I mean, I saw her pick up her phone and look at me. I could see the reflection in her eyeglasses as she's staring out the window, all, you know.
Okay, so so you're going back to prison. You're angry at the old lady for turning you in, so you have to go back after you escape. This guy is pissed off at these people for sending him there in the first place.
That's correct, but I don't think it's such a different thing that I couldn't at least talk to this man, but I do need some funding, and I would like to, if possible, Mr. Henry, talk to you about that.
All right, well, hold on here for a minute. We're talking to Don Parsley, who escaped from prison and now wants to talk to this guy, David Glenn Hobson, to tell him, you know, turn yourself in. It's not worth it. Mr. Parsley himself claims to have borne a grudge against an old woman that called the police when she saw him going through a dumpster and turned him back into the police. So he's going back to prison. This guy Hobson is apparently looking for a couple of people that sent him there in the first place. Our number, by the way, is 877-876-PHIL. It's a very interesting story, and it's almost like one of those old-time black-and-white movies, you know? The guy's on the run from the police, escaped from prison. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Don Parsley talking about this escaped convict, David Glenn Hobson in New Hampshire, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Don Parsley, a man who at one time was an inmate at a state prison in Florida, escaped custody on a work detail one day, and was eventually arrested by police a few days later. He's on to talk with us about the escaped convict David Glenn Hobson, who escaped from a New Hampshire prison on Thursday, is armed, is dangerous, is said to be looking for two people that he bears some kind of a grudge against. Police know that these individuals are safe. Authorities think that he's hiding close by, most likely in the woods of this prison. And Don Parsley is joining us right now. Don, I know you've stopped your car. Where?
Yeah, I've stopped my car up just off the road here. I'm in Tallahassee, Florida, and I this is an area of the Interstate 10 where I initially had hit, you know, from the prison that I had escaped from. And I'm just sort of going through in my mind, you know, all everything that I did, you know.
And, you know, you escaped from this prison, and you were in the woods, and then for 3 days later, though, you were captured because you needed to get food. So you'd gone into a town.
Yeah, that's correct. And there was nothing to... I'd gone to that one garage and ate dog biscuits, and obviously I wanted some better kind of food, so I went to this town, and that's when I knew the gig was up because the police pulled in. I saw this old woman. I knew it was her, and they told me later, yeah, an old lady had called in.
Now, you said something to me during the break. You said, don't worry, Mr. Henry. I know that given what I've done in my life, people are going to be afraid of me and probably will be reluctant to call and talk to me, but I can tell my story and...
Well, that's true, yeah.
Tell my audience what you meant by that.
Well, I mean, I went to prison and I escaped. You're going to have... a lot of people are going to be frightened of, you know, what I did and who I am, and I understand that. I will go and sometimes try to talk to kids and adult groups, and you can see they're just petrified because I was in prison. So I think one of the things that's tough about that is you can't really get any traction, you know, talking to groups and telling kids to stay out of prison. They're so afraid of me that they don't want to ask me no questions. So what I'm doing now is I'm offering myself up to go and look for guys like this, talk them out of it. But I need the money, you know. I don't have any money.
So you're looking for funding so you can go to New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And find this guy and talk him back to prison.
Pretty much, yeah.
All right, so what kind of money do you need, and why are you've called my radio show to what, to raise that money?
I was hoping, yeah, that your audience or you would give me some money for this so I could, you know, try to help.
What prison were you in again?
I was in Florida State Prison.
That's the name of it?
Yes, sir. And it was in Tallahassee, and that's when I escaped from it.
And you were gone for about 3 days?
That's correct, yeah. And I know when I say that, you know, I bore a grudge against that old lady, that people think I want to hurt her. I don't want to hurt her. I just, you know, it makes me angry that an old lady caught me. I wish it was something more, you know, I wish it was something more substantial, you know, like a cop or something like that, but that's what happened, you know, and that's the way it goes.
How much money do you think you need to put together a search, this kind of a search for Mr. Hobson, talk to him and get him to turn himself in?
It's hard to say. Probably around, you know, I don't want to say, I probably about $50,000.
$50,000?
Yeah, because what I'd have to do is, you got to get a car, you have to get hiking gear, you've got to get camping equipment, you don't know how far in he is, loudspeakers, things to talk him out of the woods and get him to give himself up. I may have to bring along people, food.
What people would you have to bring along?
Well, I might have to bring along, for instance, a man of the cloth, a priest or a minister of some kind to talk into the bullhorn and tell him to give himself up if he's in the woods. We also have to have, I would think that we'd have to have some kind of media relations individual, because some of these news outlets could be pretty cruel if they're going to film you talking into a bullhorn, trying to get a man to give himself up, and they find out there wasn't anybody in the woods and you're just talking to yourself. That's going to come back on you, and the reporting makes you look like, you know, pretty stupid. So you have to have a media relations guy, and there's a lot of things. But
well, I mean, look, what this sounds like is a little bit of a stunt. I mean, I don't mean to.
No, sir, it's not.
Okay, but when you say that you need a media relations guy to go with you and a priest to talk this guy into turning himself in, it sounds like you now have an entourage, and it doesn't quite sound like the group of people that you would take with you to get a criminal back to prison. And this guy's dangerous. What if he has a weapon?
Well, I'm not really all that concerned about that, because having been in prison myself, I'm just not afraid of that, you know. You learn how to, you know, take care of yourself. But
Well, no, I mean, we'll learn how to take care of yourself. If this guy's got a gun, some kind of a weapon, what are you going to do?
I just, you know, deal with that, talk my way, you know, out of it. I mean, but you got to understand, it's stuff that you don't know. You haven't been to prison, so you don't know. And it's stuff only a guy who's been to prison knows.
And all right, so Don, you need $50,000 to outfit yourself and others to go and look for this man, Mr. Hobson, who means harm to two people. And you're not afraid if he has guns. You're okay with that. But you need the 50 grand, and you're looking for it either for myself or my listeners.
That is correct, yes, sir.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll be back with more from Don Parsley and this story of Mr. Hobson and how he wants to bring him into the Phil Henry Show.
Henry. Phil Henry Show.
World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Don Parsley from Tallahassee, Florida. You were in prison in Stark, and you say that you escaped and you were in Tallahassee, which is where you are right now, right?
Yeah.
You're on a roadside. What I'm hearing here, frankly, are birds and crickets.
Well, there's a kind of a swamp situation here, Phil. And
yeah, but is Stark, Florida, as far as I can tell, isn't anywhere near Tallahassee?
It's when you're on the run. Let me explain something, because other people have said that to me. When you're on the run from prison, and I understand that most people don't really understand what this is to be on the run from prison. You can run a long way and be all of a sudden just in another county. And, you know, so that's what happened to me. You know, I was just run, and next thing I know, I'm here off the I-10, and I'm in this swamp.
What caused you to go there tonight?
Well, it caused me to go here tonight. Probably just the memory of it, you know, and wanted to kind of redo it in my mind, in my memory. You know,
redo it in your memory.
Yeah, redo it in my memory to get to the what it was, you know, how it felt. Because I know that, you know, I want to go and find this guy, Mr. Hobson. And
well, you know what? What you're attempting to do here, sir, is raise money for a search of New Hampshire or Maine or wherever it is to find this Mr. Hobson. It's very likely the authorities are going to have him before you are able to get over there.
Yes, but they're going to be running the risk of a shootout if he's armed and dangerous. And I'm the kind of guy, because I've been in prison and I know what it is to bear a grudge. Not the same one that he's bearing, but the one that I'm bearing is more against the old lady that turned me in after I escaped.
And yeah, the grudge that you're bearing doesn't even seem like that much of a grudge.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you can say that. I'm an ex-prisoner, so it could be bad. You know, I could be probably, you know, it'd be bad. You know, if you got me, it'd be bad if you got me angry. Everything like that, you know.
All right, let me go to a phone caller. Number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Mavis in South Central Los Angeles. Go ahead, Mavis.
I'm listening to a man you have on your program right now who is an escaped convict.
No, I'm not.
He's not an escaped convict.
I'm not an escaped convict now, ma'am. I was.
Well, you used to be escaped.
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, the animal I'm hearing in the background, that's a field mouse, and I can hear it squeaking and everything. But you say you're out in the field someplace?
That is correct, yeah.
Well, the field mouse I'm hearing there is indigenous to Southwest America. You can't be in Florida.
No, I'm not in Florida. I'm in a place that reminds me of Florida.
And well, what do you mean you're in a place that reminds you of Florida?
What's that mean?
I'm in a place that reminds me of Florida. It's a swampy area off of the Interstate 10 in California.
Where about? What swamp? I don't know of any swamp.
No swamps out in the off of Interstate 10 in California.
What swamp are you talking about?
There is a golf course that's got a lot of mud and they too much rain. There's too many sprinklers.
There's too many sprinklers. So in other words, you're not in Florida at all. You're on a golf course that was they put too much water on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I heard this man on the I know what, because I grew up in South Carolina, so I know what a swamp sounds like. You not out of swamp, because I heard two field mice that is indigenous.
Talking about indigenous what?
Indigenous field mice to Southwest America.
South America? I didn't
say South America.
She said Southwestern America. Where are you, man, really?
I said I'm in Palm Springs.
You in Palm Springs. So you not anywhere near the Florida, the prison in Florida, you said. You said you stopped off at Interstate 10.
Ma'am, I did stop off of Interstate 10. I came to but I'm in California.
And you said an old lady turned you in.
Yes, an old lady turned me in.
And you said you have a grudge against the old lady?
I have a little bit of a grudge against her. I'm not, you know, homicidal. But she turned me in and
I, you know what I think. I think this man is wants attention. I don't think that you are, was in prison.
Yes, I was.
You were in a chain gang. Did you really escape?
I did escape. I escaped in the sense that I didn't let them control my mind. Okay?
So in your mind, an old lady turned you in.
Well, I didn't say that either. But I was physically free, but I was also mentally free until the old lady turned me in, and I realized that there was always... That's what you don't understand.
What do you tell me what I don't understand?
The fact that I'm hearing your voice reminds me of the old lady on the phone.
So I remind you of the old lady to turn you in, is that it?
No, you don't. You remind me of the limits that life has.
Oh, what are you talking about, man? You're talking about the limits that life has. This old woman that I'm talking... Excuse me, Mavis.
That's all right, Bill. I am an old woman, but this man is saying that I'm reminding him of the old lady to turn him in. Isn't that right?
You know what I think? I think you're full of crap, okay?
I'm not full of crap. I will admit to you that the crickets are fake. I'm still in my car. All right, I'll turn them off. Turn them off. A friend of mine.
The crickets are fake.
I knew the crickets were fake.
The field mice and the crickets were fake. It was a friend of mine who runs an audio lab. How do I say this?
You know something, buddy? If you're going to call this show or my producer and tell everybody that you were in prison once, okay, and tell everyone that you want to find this other escaped convict and tell people about your experience, you could just do that straight up. Why do you got to fake the crickets and the field mice?
I was looking to somehow... All right, I might as well turn off the automobile effects, too. These are...
You're not even in a car?
No, sir. I apologize. I was hoping that it would be a quick 50 grand, and I guess it wasn't.
Were you ever in prison? Huh?
No.
So you thought you with a fake car effect.
That's not the worst of it.
What's the worst of it?
I was also the old lady.
What is this? Bud, who is this?
I don't know. The guy called in.
It's not his fault, Mr. Ennian. I was trying to make a quick dollar. I said to a friend of mine I could call in and say that I'm an ex-con.
And I also called up and I've done this for us, too.
Wait a minute. So, Bud, the old lady that called in.
I didn't take the call. Robert did. I didn't take it either.
So neither one of you guys took the phone call. All right, well, good for you, sir. That was very funny.
Well, I wasn't trying to be funny. I was trying to make, you know, some money.
You were trying to con me out of 50 grand using two fake voices and fake sound effects.
I don't think anybody's ever done it before.
All right, well, very good. You probably have a future in radio, you know.
Think that anyone would hire me?
Probably. I mean, you could probably do a morning show or something.
No, but the idea of doing fake voice and having people believe it, I mean, you did.
I did, yeah. I don't think personally it would work, no.
I don't think so either.
No, I mean, I think people are going to know you're doing a fake voice, but I think that, what do I care, man? Congratulations and good luck with your career, okay? Could I get a signed autograph? Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Hey, Bud, what is it with you, man? How do people like that get by you?
The guy, when you said that when you were going to talk about that, then a guy called in and said he'd been in prison.
Yeah. He sounded realistic and everything.
Why did he sound realistic? I'd be very interested to know. Why do you think the guy sounded realistic?
Well, because he said that he just sounded like he did.
Yeah, he sounded like one of those big white guys, you know.
Yeah, like a big white guy.
Like a big white guy who was on a chain gang in Florida. Is that it?
Dad, you almost belched.
Yeah, you're a chain gang.
Okay, never mind what I almost did. Who was on a chain gang in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for wasting the first 40 minutes of the show.
I didn't do it. If you look at the guy, it sounded real. You talked to him.
Yeah, I mean, you were sitting there talking to the guy and everything.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, see?
All right, fine. We'll be right back. 877. We got Chris Norton lined up next hour. Chris Norton will be talking with us about something very, very serious. Breast cancer coming up on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Famous Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, David. What?
I thought it was very funny.
You thought it was very funny, huh?
Yeah, I mean, the guy called in, and you thought it was a real escaped convict.
Well, that might be, all right?
Maybe the audience thought it was.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it.
Oh, you doubt it?
Yeah, I doubt that. First of all, I didn't think the guy was all that funny, other than the fact that he's calling in with his fake old lady voice.
I thought that was real good.
Yeah. Tell him he's an escaped convict. He wants to raise 50 grand. What if people actually started sending money in?
Well, then I would have had to have said something to you, and we probably would have had a problem. But, fortunately...
Yeah, fortunately, nobody did. Otherwise, my ass is twisted in the breeze.
Well, watch your language. Well, watch your language. I've asked you about that, Phil. You know, you watch your language.
My ass is twisted in the breeze. If that guy calls up and people start donating money, we find out he's doing the fake old lady voice. He's got fake crickets. He's got fake...
Just like you said to the guy, no one's going to really buy that. Nobody's going to think that some guy doing a fake voice is going to get anybody to call in. So just take it easy. It's number two, okay? This guy, this Chris Norton that you got coming on, how do you know he's not going to pull one of those?
I doubt seriously if there's more people out there doing fake voices to try to get me to believe that they're really... an escaped convict or a guy who is interested in breast cancer research. And, oh, yeah, he's also in adult movies.
Oh, is that the guy's story?
Yes. And we've had a guy on before, so I doubt... Anyway, thanks a lot, David.
Don't you hang up on me.
Well, I'm hanging up on him. How about that? 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the Phil Hendry Show. And we thank you very much, Mr. Hall.
Well, yeah, I got to put him through.
I know you got to put him through. If you'll... Pardon the expression, put him through.
What does that mean? Like going to the bathroom?
Get out of here, you guys. All right. Newt Gingrich emerges as a clear front runner in Iowa. You know, I saw a thing on Twitter today, and it was a tweet from Alec Baldwin, the actor, who I know some of you enjoy and some of you hate, and some of you enjoy for his political views, but you hate his acting, and some of you enjoy his acting, but you hate his political views. Or is that what I said? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or some of you just love his political views, but you think, and you also like his acting. And there's a lot of variables there. Anyway.
Where do you fall down with Alec Baldwin?
Where do I fall down with Alec Baldwin? Well, it isn't in bed.
I was going to say, you're probably gay for him.
Shut up. I don't think that his politics, I don't like his politics. But then, Alec Baldwin, I like him as an actor. Like him a lot. Always have. I think he's funny. I think he does drama well. That's got nothing to do with his politics. I just don't listen to his politics because it's forget it. I don't dislike the guy, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people, I mean, don't say because Alec Baldwin, you're like a liberal or something.
Yeah, he pissed off a lot. Remember the one time? Well, you was in that movie.
What movie? You mean Team America?
Yeah, and he said the Film Actors Guild fag.
All right, shut up. Yeah, that was Marcel LaMarche who did the... has a very good voice that, speaking of doing voices, that was Marcel LaMarche who did the Alec Baldwin voice in that movie. That was pretty good.
Yeah,
that was
the funniest thing about the movie, I think, when he said the Film Actors Guild. And then, what was the other one?
Yeah, how about Susan Sarandon going, you will die a peasant's death.
Yeah, it was a very funny movie, very funny. All right, very good movie, and you should see it and get it on DVD and all that stuff, because I do get a very small residual. And anyway,
how much money have you made on a residual on that movie?
That's none of your business, bud. God, man.
Well, I mean, don't you think people want to know?
People may want to know. I ain't saying diddly squat. How much money have I made in residuals on Team America?
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
What, to the post office?
I'm not going to tell you how much money I've made. That's a rude question. You don't ask people those questions. Do you understand? Okay?
I just want to know.
I know you want to know, and maybe I'll tell you, but I ain't telling anybody. It's not a lot, okay? I mean, I'm not saying they're cheap, but...
You just signed a bad contract.
I just signed a bad... I mean, no, I did not sign a bad contract. It was a great contract, and I... All right. I'm very proud to have been in that movie. That's all I got to say. Shut up, bud. And you too, Robert.
What?
Yeah. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich now sits atop the Republican presidential field in Iowa with a clear lead over even his closest competitors, according to a new Washington Post ABC News poll. See, I don't get that, man. I don't get it. I don't see how that guy... I understand that his credentials are solid. You know, his conservative credentials are solid. But what I'm talking about now is a guy that's going to get elected president of the United States. I just don't see it, you know?
Yeah, but nobody's going to believe you after you did the doggy on Clinton
Giuliani.
Giuliani? You mean Rudy Giuliani?
Yeah.
Giuliani. Boy, you guys, I blew that call big time. There's no question about that. You think people are going to believe me? Maybe they won't believe me. I don't care if they don't believe me. Doesn't make any difference. I'm just giving my opinion. I don't see this guy Gingrich. I'm telling you, this has got nothing to do now, folks. You got to understand something. When you pick a presidential race, and I don't vote for guys based upon, I wouldn't vote for Gingrich.
Why not?
I wouldn't vote for him because there's aspects to this guy's, I don't know, I got, you know what? I need to hear him a little bit more because he did say something that I thought was good. He said, the immigration situation, he did make a concession that was rare for a conservative, I think. And it was almost like on the par with Rick Perry when he said, you know, if you don't provide educational money to even these illegal immigrant children, you got no heart because these are kids, they got to go to school. Newt Gingrich said something very similar about the overall immigration situation. I don't know what it was, but it surprised me because when I heard it, I thought, you know, that's kind of rare for a conservative. I mean, a lot of those guys are hardline on the immigration question. Nonetheless, this cat's going to have to do a serious, serious image boost, shall we say, to get anybody other than, you know, people that know him, Republicans, and, you know, middle-of-the-road Republicans will probably go for the guy, too, to a point. I don't know. But he needs a public relations, not overhaul necessarily, but a big-time boost. Anyway, Gingrich's emergence is only the latest in a series of dramatic news among the GOP candidates, twists and turns that have seen a series of contenders rise and then quickly fall back. But the former speaker has the benefit of seeing his boost come in the final weeks of campaigning before Iowa's January 3rd caucuses, which serve as the formal kickoff for the long nominating season. Man, I can't believe it. It seems like only yesterday they were doing that Iowa thing with Obama and all those guys.
Yeah, remember that? You did a really good commentary on that one.
Yeah, I remember that one.
What?
You were talking about, like, if the Democratic candidate was like a traveler's on a highway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that. And I said that Obama was the guy. Actually, this was in January of... I said that in January of 08, it was Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton.
Did you actually yawn?
I did, yeah. That's how relaxed I am doing this show. Hillary Clinton was a blonde in a sports car with shades on, waving to everybody. I said that Huckabee was a guy that was going to come into your house and see if you had a glass of water, and meanwhile he would rifle through your, you know, through your desk and try to find things out and maybe steal some money. Is that what I said? Yeah. I said that... somebody's campaign was on the on its last legs. I forget who. I said, well, McCain something. But I don't think that's quite the race that we have here. At 33%.
Yeah, it was pretty funny then, not now, that we are remembering it.
I get it, bud. At 33%, at 33% among likely caucus goers in the new poll, Gingrich runs well ahead of his two main rivals, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, long considered the front runner, and Representative Ron Paul. Yeah, but this is Iowa, man. It don't mean diddly. It don't mean, although, who won the Iowa for the Democrats? Wasn't it Hillary? No, it wasn't. It was Obama. That was the first time that she started to freak a little bit. I don't know what the, I can't remember now, man, whether she won. No, I think Obama won the Iowa. Anyway, Iowa Republicans are far from locked in. More than 6 in 10 potential caucus goers say they could still change their minds before the caucuses, and even among the likeliest caucus attendees, fewer than half say they have definitely chosen a candidate. Of the top three, Paul's supporters are the most solid, followed by Gingrich and Romney's. Beyond the leaders, only Texas Governor Rick Perry scores in double digits at 11%. Two candidates who've devoted as much or more time as any to the state, Michelle Bachmann and Rick Santorum, are in single digits. See, Bachmann, man, she can't even help herself, you know.
Yeah, I thought you spent a lot of time there and everything.
Who was the guy in Iowa that spent all that time? It was Huckabee, wasn't it? I can't remember, man, but the Iowa caucus was so big, there were guys that were spending, like, months there. Months! I can't remember. You know what? I'm going to have to look it up. We get back. We got Chris Norton with us here on the world-famous Phil. Are you looking up, bud?
Yeah.
If you know how to spell caucus.
C-O.
Never mind. I'll do it. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. I can tell we're going to have one hell of a news and information hour tonight with Bud and Robert, because they were giving me just a ton of static about some of my opinions before the 2008 election. Now here comes 2012. And now here comes this Iowa caucus on January 3rd, so I've got my facts and my figures straightened out here.
You're all wrong about everything that happened there and everything.
That's fine, okay? We'll just see, all right? We'll see. In the meantime, we do want to bring on the program here a frequent contributor to the Phil Hendry Show, Chris Norton. Before we have Chris on, who is an adult film producer, as well as a telemarketer from Manhattan Beach. When I say he's an adult film producer, he's right now building his business, but nonetheless, we do want to talk to him about something that really doesn't have anything to do with what he does for a living or what he hopes to do for a living. It has to do with a long-standing relationship that he has with a young lady named Jacqueline, and we want to talk to him about that. There's been some very heartrending and at the same time rather inspiring news about breast cancer. Now, you know, I realize that this radio show that I do is primarily listened to by men. Now, that's just where it's at. And we have a lot of women, but we primarily have a male audience. And, you know, if you're a man and you have a woman in your life and you love her, then you have to get your ass educated about this breast cancer, okay? Don't sit around like a dumbass thinking that it's some sort of a figment of somebody's imagination, because it's not. And women are at risk, a lot of them, especially if they've had it in their family. So we're going to have Chris Norton on to talk with us about that in a moment. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, and don't forget our website is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. If you get a backstage pass to our website, you get the live streaming video of our show every night. You get the podcast each and every day the next day directly delivered to your iPod or whatever device you use. Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Anyway, also, you have access to our thousands of hours of archived material. You have access to our very rare and very few animated webisodes. Our rants, our video rants and otherwise, many of the TV appearances that we've done, radio interviews that we've done, on and on and on and on and on and on and on it goes, all right? And by the way, big announcement tonight. Well,
go ahead.
We have available on our website tonight for digital download the best of the Phil Henry Show from 1994 when we were in Miami. This is the earliest of the best of compilations. It was done when we were at WIOD Radio in Miami, and we've got that available for you as a digital download, either the full CD or the individual cuts. So this is where it's at. If you want great radio, this is the show. There are a lot of them that tell you they're about radio, and they're really just about the guy getting off on maybe someday being a president himself. But this is a radio show. All right, Chris Norton joining us here from Redondo Beach, California. Chris, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
Chris, you are a telemarketer and also a film producer.
Well, I think you probably, you know, had it right, Mr. Henry. I'm not really as yet, you know, full-on film producer, but I do hope, you know, someday.
Okay, but you know, you're a young man with prospects, and you had told me in previous shows that you were probably not ready to get married, right?
That's correct, yeah. In fact, I probably was not, you know, thinking about getting married at all because of what I was chosen, or what I had chose to do, which was to be involved in, you know, adult films. It's always been sort of an interest of mine to stay free and, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I am, you know, very good looking, and I do enjoy sex. And it's one of the reasons why I got involved in adult films, because it is about sex, you know. But when I met Jacqueline, who is not a film, she was not an adult film actress at all, although she would have made a, you know, a great one, I think. She was part of our crew that I met.
And all right, so Jacqueline was a young lady that you met on the crew of another film?
Yeah, when I was interning, and I was interning, and learning the ropes and everything. She was one of the makeup people.
Okay, and you met her, and how long have you been with her?
We dated to about 2 years.
2 years you were together?
Yes, sir.
Were you faithful to her?
Well, I mean, I wanted to. I did tell her that I wanted to marry her. And in the world that I live in, where, you know, I know a lot of people who are very, you know, good looking, and a lot of people who are very sexually active. In my world, that's sort of, you're not really going to be completely monogamous or however.
Monogamous?
Yes, sir. But you will be, you know, you will be in love and everything. And so.
So you were not completely monogamous with her?
I was not, but I was from the highest respect you can have is to say that you love them, you know, whether you're monogamous or not. And I did.
You love Jackie, and you were going to marry her.
Yes, sir, I was.
But that's not the case now. And can you tell me why?
Well, I have been out front, Mr. Henry, along with several other people in my profession, you know, in the pharmaceutical profession, as well as in adult films, trying to get men educated about breast cancer and what, you know, and Jackie has had it in her family, you know, Jacqueline, I mean. So I decided that, I knew that she'd had breast cancer in her family, and so we did the breast cancer march and everything. Last September, this is just this past September, she had a cyst that was removed.
But just a question, does she have breast cancer in her family?
I subsequently found out, yeah, she does. So she had a cyst removed, and
Was it malignant?
No, sir, it was not.
So that was good news.
It was very good news, and I was very happy, although when she had the cyst removed, it did create a scar that was all, it was something that we had to sit down and talk about.
What, you're talking about the scar that she got from the cyst removal?
Yeah, we had to, I wanted to make sure she understood that it was not a bad scar, but it did, in my mind, it sort of messed up the look of her left breast. And it was an issue that I needed to sit down and talk to her about.
You needed to talk to her about a scar on her breast? Okay.
It wasn't a serious scar, but I did need to get my head cleared I just wanted to hear from her what she planned on doing about that. But then that's when she told me that since she found this cyst, that she was going to have a double mastectomy. And I asked her why, and she said because she has breast cancer in her family, she wanted to make sure she didn't get it, so she's going to have the double mastectomy. And I was, like, completely stunned. And, you know, I mean, I planned on marrying her. And to hear her say she's going to have that done.
Well, now, let's tell people why women who have breast cancer in their family elect to do that. It's so they don't get breast cancer, right?
Well, yeah, they a lot of women will do that, but I didn't think that when they said that they had double mastectomies, when they had both of them removed, that they were, for some reason, I just didn't think they were serious. I don't know why I didn't, but.
Well, I mean, it's a very serious disease. It can kill women.
No, I know that, but you don't have to have, I understand about if you have it. But if you don't have it, and she went ahead and she said, no, I'm going to have both of them taken off. And I said, well, you don't have breast cancer. And she said, yeah, but my mother did, and so my grandmother. And I said, so? And she said, it's hereditary. And I said, why don't you wait till you get it? And
yeah, but if she waits till she gets it, it might be too late. Do you understand?
Well, no, because you could, that's what I told her. I said, no, I don't. You could go to the doctor, and he'd find out it's there, and then you could have it done then. But she...
Well, a lot of women, it's a very preventative thing that a lot of women are doing now, and they're doing it so they don't get this, so that they do not have breast cancer, they don't have to deal with it.
Well, I mean, but that's what was sort of the deal-breaker for us, you know? And so...
What do you mean by deal-breaker?
Well, I mean, we ended our engagement, you know?
And when you say we ended our engagement, did you? You ended the engagement with this girl because she was going to have a double mastectomy? I mean, is that what you're telling me?
Well, yeah. First of all, Mr. Henry, she...
She was doing that so that she would not have to suffer breast cancer. Many women do that. And you realize, of course, and let me just tell you this much, because I think it's very important for people to know. You realize, of course... Chris, that reconstructive surgery...
I know about reconstructive surgery on a breast. Does that mean the breast reconstructive?
Yeah.
I know about that, Mr. Henry, but it's not... there's a lot of scars. It doesn't look... You have to understand that Jacqueline had a good, you know, body. I mean, she had a good... And she decides she's going to have the two... I mean, they were very nice... And she decided to have take them off. But
she can have reconstructive. This is one of the reasons why a lot of women are opting for mastectomies, because the reconstructive surgery is very good.
I don't necessarily. I mean, I said to her before, I agree to keep our engagement. You know, I got to take a look and see what you got in mind. And she showed me pictures of women that had reconstructive, and it was not really up to the standards that I would have. And
up to standards that you would have. And what do you mean by, but you know, I have to tell you, I knew a young lady that had that reconstructive surgery, and it was fantastic. I mean, I think she looked great. And it was the same situation where she didn't want to have to risk having breast cancer.
Well, I mean, what your standard is, Mr. Henry, and I say it with all due respect, because I do respect you, sir, but, you know, I am... You know, I'm way better looking than you. I'm sure you agree. And the women that I do have had been out with are way more hotter and probably than what you would be. And so...
So in other words, because your standard of beauty is higher than mine, you have to have a woman with two real breasts and not reconstructive.
No, I think what you're doing there is making me sound like I'm just a turd, you know.
Well, no, I'm not making you sound that way, Chris.
No, sir, I'm saying... I love Jacqueline very much, but she is the one that said, I think I need to have a double mastectomy. I go, okay, you know, that's your call. So she ended our engagement.
No, you said you ended it when she decided to have a double mastectomy.
Yeah, she ended it. When she did that, she, I mean, what, you tell me of anybody that if she's got a really nice body... You know,
all right, hold on for a minute here, Chris, because I got to take a break, all right?
But I don't think you're hearing my side of it all that well.
Well, yes, I do. Chris Norton is with us here on the Phil Henry Show, who broke off his engagement. He broke off his engagement with a young lady because she decided to have a double mastectomy rather than run the risk of breast cancer, a breast cancer that her mother had, her grandmother had, and who knows who else. She had a cyst removed. She decided to have both of her breasts removed. Mr. Norton has ended his engagement with her, saying it was, quote, her decision. We'll be back. We'll take some of your phone calls if you'd like here tonight. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We also have a news story here of a e-news host. Her name is Juliana Rancic, and she's also a reality TV star. She has opted to have a double mastectomy rather than run the risk of breast cancer. So it is being done, and it's probably the prudent and smart thing to do. We'll talk more about it. The world-famous Phil Henry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I do like that.
You like Don Julio Añejo, yeah. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You saw that the picture?
I saw a picture of the Don Julio Añejo that you got on your show, yeah.
Welcome back here to the Phil Henry Show. With me is Chris Norton. Mr. Norton is a telemarketer from Redondo Beach. You broke off your engagement with this girl because she was going to have a double mastectomy because there's breast cancer in her family. Now, some people are probably going to say to you, or say to her, she's lucky she got rid of such an insensitive guy.
Well, I mean, I've not heard that, you know.
You haven't heard anybody say, how did she take this?
She was, you know, in a lot of ways, I was very lucky to have known Jacqueline because she understood, and she knows that I'm very, she understands, first of all, that I'm a very, you know, I'm handsome. I mean, and I'm not saying that I'm you know, the most handsomest man that has ever been, but I am very handsome. And she knows that it's odds are if you are going to have your breast taken down, then, you know, you're probably not going to have no handsome guys want to be with you. I mean,
boy, you've got some kind of a point of view here, man. That's,
well, I mean, Mr. Henry, again, I've got experience, you know, because of the fact that I am handsome. I mean, I've been with a lot of hot, it's not really anything that I do. Is I can't be with a woman that's not hot because of the business that I'm in, you know.
And, well, the business that you're in is, you mean the adult film business?
Well, I mean, just in promotion of what I hope will someday be my adult film business, I have to have a woman in my life that's hot, you know.
And a woman that has a double mastectomy doesn't qualify.
Well, I think it's not right of you to make it sound like I'm heartless, you know. I said to her, and I said, look, you know that I have to probably break up with you because of the fact that you're not going to have no breasts, not the ones you had. And she said, yeah, I knew that, you know. And
well, you know, there is one other possibility here, the fact that she went ahead and had the mastectomy done knowing that you'd break up with her, and she didn't care.
No, I think she did care, but she didn't know that I was going to say what I said.
So, in other words, you made your decision afterwards.
Yeah, well, I didn't, yeah.
If she told you that she was going to have this double mastectomy, what did you say? What did you say to her when she told you?
I told her that I felt that she needs to do what's right for her health.
So, in other words, what you did was you led her to believe that this was going to be okay with you and that you were going to be fine with it, right? And
No, I didn't do that.
Well, I mean, she didn't have any idea that when she, you know, came back from the hospital of having this double mastectomy, that you were going to break up with her, break off the engagement.
I didn't know that it was going to affect I didn't know that it wasn't going to be as good as I thought, because when she showed me the pictures later of the reconstructive,
they didn't look good enough.
Well, yeah, and I think a lot of what you're doing, Mr. Henry, is you're seeing this only through the eyes of a guy that may not have that many hot women, you know.
You know, Chris, let's quit. Let's forget about whether I get hot women or not, okay? Or, you know, I'll go ahead and I'll give that title to you, all right?
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to have no title or anything.
No, it's all right. I'll give you the title. You get the hottest women on earth. I'm giving that to you, man. But what I'm saying is, so let's just say I don't know anything about hot women, all right? I don't know what it is to have hot women. I don't, you know, all the women that I've had are kind of just plain, let's say.
Well, I mean, you're making it sound like I'm some kind of ego case.
No. I mean, frankly, I can't do that. Only you can do that. But look, here's what I'm saying. Let's say she's the hottest thing in the world, and all you ever do is go out with hot women, okay? They got feelings, too. And if this hot woman that you were engaged to, Jacqueline...
No, I know.
Just hear me out. Just hear me out. This young lady you were engaged to, Jacqueline, hot, beautiful girl, she has a double mastectomy. You're telling me that in the world of hot people, you and Jacqueline, she totally understands that you're going to break off the engagement when you find out that the reconstructive surgery isn't going to look as good and it's just going to bug you.
I think, yeah. That's something that you don't, and a lot of people who are not hot, but I mean, most people are with people that are not that hot looking, and I am, and so it's hard to make them understand that.
So I don't understand that, and I'm willing to. So you're telling me that in your world, a beautiful girl is going to say to you, "Hey, Chris, you know, I understand. Go ahead and dump me."
Well, she didn't say dump me.
All right, no, but she's going to say, "Go ahead and let's break off her engagement because I know you have to have a woman with really great looking breasts, and mine are going to have scar tissue, and they're going to be reconstructed."
I think that.
And by the way, just a question, okay?
No, let me finish. I think yeah, but also. I'll feel bad about it. She'll feel bad about it. Yep.
Okay, and while we're talking about this, what is her future like? Does she get a guy?
Well, yeah.
She just doesn't get one as good-looking as you?
I think what you've done, Mr. Henry, is you are mocking me, and you are...
No, sir, these are the only questions you've left me to ask.
I mean, you're asking me what kind of guy she gets.
Well, does she not get a hot guy anymore, or does she have to settle for a less hot-looking guy?
I think if you're going to have breasts, if you're not going to have no breasts, yeah, you're going to have to settle for...
All right. Just wanted to hold on. 877-876-PHIL. Chris Norton broke off his engagement with his girl, Jacqueline, because she's having a double mastectomy. We'll be back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, you make me sound like a douche.
World Famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the World Famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL. Chris Norton joining us. And the discussion we're having here is a girl that you told me, and I'm willing to believe you, Chris. This young lady is somebody that you love very much, someone that you care about very much.
Absolutely, yes.
But when she decided she was going to have a double mastectomy, that was the end of that.
No, it was just that... It was that she decided to have a double mastectomy, and then when she went into the hospital to have that done, a friend of mine came over and had some medical books that he had and showed me the reconstructive surgery, and some of it was kind of not good, you know, and...
Yeah, not good. So in other words, what you're saying here basically is that aesthetically, your girl, the woman that you love... beauty being only skin deep was still that important to you to have her look beautiful.
Well, I mean, look, Mr. Harry, I'm not any different than most guys.
Okay. I mean, I would there probably be some guys that disagree with you, but
no, I'm not any different from most guys. I mean, I think most guys would be the same, would take the same trip, you know. How they do that.
All right, let me go to a phone call here. We have Bobby in Western Estates, California. Bobby, go ahead.
Hi, Phil. It's Bobby Dilley.
Yep.
And I wanted to talk to this young man. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I have to be very, very honest with you. I find you really disgusting.
Okay.
Well, when you say okay.
I mean, you think I'm disgusted? Why?
No, I didn't say disgusted. I said disgusting.
Hey, why am I disgusting?
Well, I think you're disgusting because you talk about how hot you are, how good-looking you are, and that a woman who's had a mastectomy is not up to your standards. Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm not trying to say I'm anything special, you know. You know,
You mentioned something about having, you're really into sex.
I am into sex. I mean, I have my sex appeal, I've got a very strong sex appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, my sex is no different than anyone else's sex, except...
Except you have a lot of sex. You have a lot of sex, isn't that what you said?
I do, yeah, I do tend to have a lot of sex.
Well, I wanted to call up and say that I find you to be vile.
Okay.
And so when I say vile, do you know what that means?
It's not good.
No, it's not good.
Right, it isn't good. You're vile. You're disgusting. You are, I think you're lower than low.
Okay.
So that's okay with you, huh?
I mean, no, I mean, it's not okay with me.
You hear what she's saying about you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that I'm just who I am. You know, I'm just a regular guy trying to, you know, just trying to have good sex.
But you're a regular guy trying to have good sex.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a regular guy. I'm just trying to have as much sex as I can. A lot of young guys want to have sex and also have sex with a woman that's not too scary to see or look. I mean, I don't know, get to see in the morning.
Oh, so you want to have good sex with a woman that's not... What was the word that you used? Steve, you heard...
Yeah, it's scary. Well, it's not scary.
Not scary in the morning?
Yeah, because I've...
You've been with women like that?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I've woke it up next to...
You woke it up?
Ma'am, I'm just trying to say...
Woke it up is not a word, Chris. Woke up.
Awakened or woke up?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to say that I've... awakened to some pretty scary, you know, fairly hanky looking.
You've awakened next to some pretty ugly women.
In the morning, yeah, because you don't really know at night if it's dark. I mean, they've always had good bodies. That much I do know. Because if you're going to have sex, I mean, you want to have sex with a good body, but...
It's the face that sort of threw you, huh?
Yeah, I mean, what's with all the questions there, I think?
I'm asking all these questions because I'm really just letting you sort of hang yourself. I want all the women out there to hear what an absolutely vile degenerate you are, you know.
This is Ms. Dooley, right?
Yes, it's Bobby Dooley. You know me.
I know. We had dinner.
Yeah, we did. Before I was married.
I don't think so because I'm only 28. Well, I don't know.
Well, okay. I'll explain it to my husband. We had dinner one night, and I flirted with you, and you did not take me up on my flirtation, which is fine, because I didn't want to go to bed with you. I'm married. I wanted to see just how disgusting you were, and you were very disgusting.
Yeah, but I didn't want to go to bed with you or anything, because, you know, you were married, and also you were not, you know, right at the level...
Oh, I wasn't up to the level that you're used to? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Sorry about my wife, Doug. Well, throw up the sand, you know.
Let me get in here, Bobby. You're saying that you flirted with him and he didn't hit on you and he didn't take you up on the flirtation and you weren't going to go to bed with him anyway because you're married, but you're angry?
Well, I'm angry only from this standpoint. Who does he think he is? I think I'm pretty special. And there I am flirting with him, and he's sort of looking at me like I'm, you know, something that like a dog would play with, like I'm a chew toy, you know. And I just wonder who he thinks he is. And listening to him tonight.
Well, I mean, Ms. Dooley, I'm not about to go to bed with no married lady.
You nagabogobo. You sound like an illiterate. You sound like one of the Morlocks from the time travel movie. Talk about the time travel.
He's right. Time machine.
What's the one with the Morlocks?
That was the time machine.
Excuse me, Phil. I'm not talking to you. What's the one with the Morlocks?
Time machine. the time machine.
And I'm not talking to you, Steve.
Time machine.
All right, time machine.
Right.
You think I look like one of those?
No, I don't think you look like a Morlock, but...
But what?
Okay, I think we've pretty much taken this as far as we can go, Ms. Dooley, don't you?
No, I don't think we have. I think what you've got here is a man who thinks he's so good-looking and so special that even in the humiliation of a woman, she still desires him sexually.
Well, I mean, is that true? Don't you still want to go to bed with me and have sex with me?
Yes. Yes. But I wouldn't. Because I'm married.
Yeah, sure.
You are a pig, you know that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's pretty good.
Look, I don't want to go through a domestic scene here. I think I heard you correctly. You would still go to bed with this guy.
No, I want to, but I won't because I'm married.
And I'm the pig.
Are you calling me a pig? Oh, boy.
All right, thank you, Ms. Dooley. It's been great talking with you here. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Do you know this woman? Mr. Norton, you know that woman?
Well, yes, sir, I do. I met her prior to a function at University of Southern California because I was on a film internship there, and she was, I guess, somebody was fundraising for the school. I guess she'd gone to school there or something like that.
And the two of you had dinner, huh?
Yeah, because I thought maybe she could get me into film school on a scholarship or something like that, but it was no go.
Let me ask you something. Were you trying to get her to go to bed with you?
Well, I think it's normal because I wanted to get into the film school, and she would probably be able to have me help me go do that, but I was not able to do that, so I was not able to.
You were not able to do that?
Right, I was not able to do that.
I mean, would you have slept with her if she was able to do that?
Well, yeah, I'm sure. I don't think anybody was going to turn. I mean, it would have been tough. You know, it would have been real tough.
And why would it have been tough?
Well, I mean, just getting a first glance at her, it would have been pretty brutal. You know, but I was willing to do it just to...
get a scholarship to USC. I didn't know that Ms. Dooley was that connected. All right, hang on the line here, okay, Chris?
Yes, sir.
Chris Norton. And a man who broke up with his fiancée because she'd had a double mastectomy, if you're ready for that. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and welcome back with the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Chris Norton on the phone with us. And I think that, Mr. Norton, when you say that you're going to, and you did, break off the engagement with a girl who had a double mastectomy so that she could prevent herself from getting breast cancer, I don't have to do anything, sir, other than let you say what it is you're going to do to have people think poorly of you, because a lot of people... think that's insensitive.
I don't think, Mr. Henry, that you've done much tonight. I mean, you've pretty much painted me as, I don't know what you want to call, I mean, what we call, like a double douche. You know, a double douche, you know. And
a double douche, huh? Well, sir, you have done your very best talking about how, you're good-looking and women have to be with you that are good-looking, otherwise it doesn't make any sense, and so on and so forth. Let's go to a phone call.
No, I just said that, you know. Yeah, I mean, it does make sense. It does make sense from a standpoint of my film career, but you've done your best to make me look like some kind of douche. You know, I mean, a douche.
I haven't. 877-876-PHIL. Here is another Chris. Go ahead, Chris. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil. Hey, Chris, I was sitting here listening to your little story you got going on here, and I can't quite understand your way of thinking. I understand that you're an adult film actor. Now, this girl likes you, and she loves you so much that she even lets you continue doing sex films with other women.
Yeah, but she worked in the sex industry too, so.
Well, she worked, yeah, but you were saying she wasn't doing the pictures. She was just involved in doing makeup. All right, so she got
that's
there.
Correct.
She
that's correct.
Watched
yeah, she's a mega
sex.
Woman.
But what? I don't understand that when she gets, she got her breast taken off. I mean, there's a reconstruction. I don't even think she got them taken off yet. And you were pretty much just because she was going to, you were going to leave her. And that don't make no
well,
sense.
Not really. I mean, she told me. I mean, I wasn't sure. I thought I could take it. But then when I saw some of the pictures they have a reconstructed, I was like, I thought I could take it. I couldn't. You know.
Yeah. Well,
so that's on me.
I love, but if you truly love her, man, looks really don't matter. You're not going to be pretty forever, and neither is she.
What?
40 years from now, both these guys aren't going to be good looking. So you live the rest of your life on love. So I don't feel like you were ever in love.
Well, yes, I was. I mean, first of all, you have to understand, in the sex business, I'm not going to be just having sex with her. I mean, yes, I am, but also you're allowed to have it on the side, okay? And another thing, I mean, yeah, I did love her. I don't know why you say I don't.
We're saying that you don't, or it's hard to believe that you don't, because
other women on the side.
Yeah.
So it's like, even if you didn't even have to have sex with her, if you just loved her and, you know, lived with her, you were still going to have sex
with
women.
Well, I mean, if you could have sex with a porn star, wouldn't you?
Well, I guess it all depends. I'm married now, so my sexual days with others is over because I believe in the vows that you take at marriage, which means
okay, I know that you're married. Okay, but if it was a one-time shot to have sex with, say, you know, whatever Jenna Jameson or you know whoever, a one-time shot. And your wife is never going to find out about it. I mean,
wow.
you know you're going to do it. So,
whoa. What do you mean you know you're going to do it?
Well,
yeah,
obviously,
he assumes I'm going to do it.
I think, okay, but would you do it, but you probably would still do it had she had a double mastectomy. I wouldn't, because those are my standards. See?
You know, you're talking through your hat here, man. First of all, you're saying you would have sex on the side, even if you're married, because you're allowed. Then you'd say, but I wouldn't have sex with a girl who'd had a double mastectomy because my standards are higher than yours, talking to this guy, but he would. What are you talking about?
Mr. Ritter, I've made myself as clear as I can, and you guys don't accept the fact that I have sex with a higher grade, a higher level.
Well, you're thinking that your way of thinking is normal, and really your way of thinking is abnormal. You know what I mean? Maybe it makes sense to you, and you're frustrated that we don't understand. But
hold on for a minute, Chris. Hold on, Chris. The gentleman in York, would you hold on? I want to ask you, Mr. Norton. Do you have a sinus problem or something?
I do. Yeah, I've got a little bit of a sinus congestion.
Okay, because I can hear you breathing into the phone. Go ahead, Chris in York. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just letting him know that, you know, him saying that the way he feels about this is normal, us looking in see that it is an abnormal way of thinking. Because, you know, love is different to us. You know, I feel that if you were really in love, that looks do not matter. They really don't.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What, Mr. Norton, what are you doing?
I'm breathing.
You're breathing like you've got an oxygen mask on. Are you getting enough air? Because it sounds to me like you're not getting any air.
I don't know. What do you mean by that?
You're going like that. It's distracting to my listeners. Go ahead, Chris in York.
Well, I'd love to hang out.
Well, anyway, thank you. You made a very good point. I appreciate it. Go back to work.
Yep,
I appreciate your phone calls. Yeah, thank you very much, sir. That gentleman was simply saying, I think, what a lot of guys would say.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's saying, no, I'm not going to have no sex with a woman that's not my wife. And I think that you would expect anybody on a talk radio programming to say that because they don't want to look like, you know, I mean, I'll say it, you know, they don't want to look like a douche. But, you know, or a douchebag or however you want, double douche or, you know, douche deluxe. Or there's a lot of different ways you can say that, you know. And
that's fine. I get the point.
Okay. So, I mean, he's going to say that because he doesn't want to, you know...
Look like a douche deluxe, yeah.
Right. So, I said that I think you need to be honest with yourself, you need to be honest with me, you need to be honest with Mr. Henry, and me be honest with Mr. Henry listeners, and also any potential, you know, woman that you're going to want to be honest with, and admit that you would have sex with a porn star, but not she had double that, you know, mastectomy or however it's said.
All right. Well, you know what, pal? You've reduced everybody to your level then.
I don't think I'm on a level or anything.
Yeah, you're on a level, and you've reduced everyone to your level, which is basically, I love her as long as she's got two big breasts. Okay.
Well, there's a million guys out there right now that just nodded their heads and went, yeah, that's true. Yep, that's true. And I'm not talking that way because I'm saying they're all black either. I'm saying they're white, but they're all going, yep.
Okay, great. Thanks for being with us, and good luck with your future. If you've dumped this girl, have you got another prospect?
Another girlfriend?
Yeah.
Well, I always have girlfriends. I just, you know, but they have breasts. And
yeah, great.
That guy's a deuce deluxe.
No kidding. Oh, I always have girlfriends, but they have breasts. Well, here's the story, and this is one of the stories. Juliana Rancic, the E! News host and reality TV star. What, Robert?
What's her name, Rancid?
No, her name is not Rancid. Rancic. I'm guessing, or Ranchic, maybe.
Ranch Chick.
Yeah, there you go. Juliana Ranch Chick, the E! News host and reality TV star, made an announcement today that put her in the company of a growing group of women with breast cancer, those who choose to have both their breasts removed. After Ranchic revealed she had breast cancer in October, she had lumpectomies to remove cancerous tissue.
What's that?
A lumpectomy is anything that ends with ectomy means it's removed. Tonsillectomy?
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, what would ectomy mean, like a removal?
Yeah, like you're going to have a trashectomy?
Trashectomy? No, it's a medical term, okay? It means, yeah, removal. Well, a lumpectomy is when they take these lumps, or cysts, if you will, from a woman's breasts. All right. Her husband, Bill, said in a broadcast the doctors had not been able to remove all the cancer in one breast. She said she could have another lumpectomy with radiation and medication, but she said, quote, for me, it was very important to just get the cancer out. So there you go. She's also said prolonged treatment might get in the way of getting pregnant. She was encouraged by seeing the breasts of a friend who'd had successful reconstructive surgery. That's why a lot of women are doing it, because this reconstructive surgery is really, really good. And so women are now choosing that. It used to be a woman would have these have this surgery, and that's it, you know?
Yeah, they have no fake ones?
What do you mean fake ones, man? No, they did not have this reconstructive surgery, so they do now. Juliana Rancic. Okay, the Phil Henry Show continuing next hour. We have our news and information hour with Bud and with Robert, and we're reminding you that our website tonight is featuring something brand new that we'd like you to go over and take a look at. We have made available to you downloads of the Best of the Phil Henry Show from 1994. If there's anybody out there watching our Phil TV this evening, I'm holding up the 1994 CD case. You can also see that if you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, you'll be able to see the 94 CD case. Well, and there I am. I've got not only chest hair, but head hair.
Yeah.
Well, the individual cuts from this CD are available for download. Check it out.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
Hey, welcome back here, the world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and it is now time for our news and information hour. So we will dispense with the phone calls, although we do give you our phone number, just so it burns its way onto a neural pathway in your brain, so you never forget it, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people will call up on a talk show and he'd always know the phone number.
Yeah, those people, Bud, are what we call people with, altogether,
no life.
No life, exactly. I'm not trying to be critical, but if you know by heart the phone numbers of different talk shows, you really, really got to get out and find yourself some hobbies, some things to do, you know. Speaking of things to do, one of the things you can do is... And you don't have to tell me I almost belched, Bud, I know.
Yeah, what is that about, anyway? You almost belching everything.
I don't know. But, I'm not going to talk to you about it. This is a Monday night show, okay? I even yawned tonight. That shows you how relaxed this show is. There's no news, man. What do you want me to tell you? The only news that really matters is the news that we're bringing up, and so far it's been about breast cancer and something else that was so exciting I forgot. All right. First of all, we have our Best of 1994 CD for sale on our website. This is from the days when we were at WIOD in Miami, and we had a great radio station down there. I will tell you, no lie, we had a great radio station down there with myself, if I do say so myself, Neil Rogers, Rick and Suds, Aaron Summers, Jeff DeForest. We had Dolphin Football with Mad Dog Jim Mandich and Kim Bocamper, and we just had a great crew of people. It was a lot of fun. Now, what we're doing in our shop is we're selling downloads, individual downloads, or the entire CD. And what I was trying to do is I was trying to play a cut for you, but I'm having a very... Oh, here it is, digital downloads. I wonder if I'll be able to do this, bud.
Me, you have to probably buy one.
I gotta buy one? Come on, man, it's my own work. It's my own work, you understand? Why would I buy one? Oh, this is bad. This is not going to work here. I guess the other thing that I could do is I could actually, go over and put this in the CD player, and that way we don't have to mess around, you know. Here's our GM, Bob Green. How do I play this? I guess you got to buy it. Okay. All right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. It would necessitate me walking all the way over to the CD player and putting it in the CD player. I can't do that right now. I cannot take the time.
I don't know how to use it. I do it for you.
Yeah, I know. I cannot take the time and do that. But when we come back from the first break, I'll roll actually my favorite one, which is the Mad Dog Jim Mandich bit. It's called Cooking with Jim Mandich. Him and Kim Bocamper are in the kitchen. And
Who are they named Kim Bocamper? What kind of name is that?
That's the name of a football player. What do you mean, what kind of name is that?
I remember, was he like on a Miami Dolphin?
Yes, he was a Miami Dolphin. He was a middle linebacker for the Miami Dolphins. Kim Bocamper, might have been a right end. I don't know what Kim played. But he was a very good football player. And the other was Jim Mandich. You ever heard of him?
Uh-oh.
He was a tight end, and he played for the Dolphins in the 70s. He also played for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He had three Super Bowl rings. He had two from his days with the Dolphins, and he wore another one from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, and Jim has passed on now. He died last year in his early 60s, far too young. He was a hell of a nice guy. And I really miss a lot of them. A lot of those cats are gone, man. Neil's gone now. Jim Mandich is gone. I don't know who else. But I miss those days with those guys. It was so much fun. I have to tell you, it was one of those radio stations where just anything could happen, and did. And management, it was very rare to have management that would back you up, but they did. They got our back on everything. And of course, everybody was unhappy, and that made it was almost like being on the 1973 Oakland A's when everyone hated each other's guts, and they still won a World's Championship. That was sort of the way it was. Not that we hated each other's guts, but we still hated management.
Yeah, but you said you liked that Bob Green guy.
I did. Bob Green, who was our general manager, I did like him, and now he runs a grocery store. No, he doesn't. That character is based on Bob Green. And we had a program director named Steve Nichol. But some of the bits here on our 610 WIOD CD are as follows. Escaped convict, where an actual convict was escaped and out and on the loose. We've got a very early Steve Bozell bit. We've got a bit called Wayne's Man Chip. Wayne Huizenga, who owned the Dolphins and the Marlins, was always in the crosshairs. And so we were doing bits on him and the Jim Mandich thing. But when we come back, we'll play the managed clip. But anyway, this is all available for download on our website, so you go over and click on the cut you like, or you can buy the entire CD at philhenryshow.com. Just head on over there and grab it, baby. Just grab it. Or get a full BSP. You know, that's a backstage pass, and you can see the stuff that we do here at night, man.
Yeah. You people probably missed seeing you yawn. That would have been great.
Yeah, you should have gotten a backstage pass tonight and watched the show so you could see me yawn. Just means that I'm relaxed, you know?
Yeah, you must be bored to tears.
Tonight? Yes, I am. Probably the audience is, too. I don't know, you know? It's Christmas. It's close to the season where no one's doing anything other than eating fruitcake and behaving like a fruitcake. And,
probably eating pound cake and pounding it. And
will you shut up?
Man, what about the line?
That's a pretty good line.
It's not bad, eating pound cake and pounding it. Nonetheless, it is that time of year, so that's the kind of radio we're going to do around here, man. We've got our slippers on, and that's just where it's at, you know. By the way, are we going to do our Christmas carol or not?
Probably.
We you know, every year we roll our best of, every year we roll our Christmas carol, which is Phil Hendry's Christmas carol, in which it's Ebenezer Dickman, right?
Yeah, I play Ebenezer Dickman, and you're Bob Cratchit, or whatever the guy's called.
Bob Cratchit.
Bob Cratchit, huh?
Cratchit Rocket.
Bob Cratchit, that's who I play. And I think, Robert, you have a part in it. So on either Christmas Eve this year or a day before, maybe, I think we like do it on the 23rd, we'll have Phil Hendry's Christmas Carol. Now, here is another earth-shattering bit of information, no pun intended. It's a question that the human race has been asking for centuries, and one that NASA's Roger Hunt and his team of more than 80 technicians, engineers, and scientists are now trying to answer. As the manager of the Kepler Space Telescope Project, Hunter leads NASA's first mission to search our galaxy for Earth-sized planets orbiting inhabitable zones of their stars, the region around a star where temperatures permit water to be liquid on a planet's surface. This condition is essential for the existence of life as we know it, in the galaxy, in a region around the star, we, and then the sentence just screwed up and... Put it in my face, bud.
Yeah, it needs to be printed again.
Okay. Anyway, so that's what they're figuring. They're figuring if they can find planets the size of ours that are in the same relative orbit as ours to their star as we are to ours, then they feel that that planet is in a temperate, a habitable zone, as they call it. Habitable zones of the stars, the region around a star where temperatures permit water to be liquid. For in order for life to exist, there has to be water.
Yeah, but that's only on if there's that kind of life.
What do you mean if there's that kind of life?
Well, what about like, what if life don't need water?
Yeah, I mean, it could be like, remember one show you told me about that one guy was made out of gas or something?
No, he wasn't made out of gas. It was a hydrogen-based... We're carbon-based life, and in this Outer Limits I was looking at, this guy was from a planet where it was hydrogen-based.
Yeah, so the guy was like Gas Man or something.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Gas Man. Yeah, that's about it. It was the stupidest show because it started out really cool. Cliff Robertson played a janitor, and he's a janitor at this lab where they're trying to contact life on other planets, and there he is one night. 1 o'clock in the morning, flushing toilets and emptying waste paper baskets, and suddenly it comes in over the, you know, thing. It's like a life form is trying to contact him, you know.
Yeah, but man, they're not going to leave a janitor looking at, are they?
Who knows, Robert? I mean, it's a TV show, okay? So,
Probably be better have a janitor look at it.
I don't know, bud. But anyway, the guy's looking at this, and it suddenly... A being from another planet, and the being is able to transmit his thoughts or his language or whatever into the mind of the human. So they're conversing. They're conversing. And as you can well imagine, it was one of those poignant shows where, aha, yes, two beings from different worlds, completely different kinds of beings, and they are the lowest person on the totem pole in their respective society. This one guy's a janitor on Earth, and this hydrogen guy, you know.
What? Probably a hydrogen janitor in the hydrogen land.
Well, they don't call it that, man.
Oh, who cares what they call it, right? Yeah, you're right, bud. He's a janitor in hydrogen land. So anyway, so that's the sort of the poignant beauty of it. These two low-level guys are working it out. They're talking to each other. And they ask each other these questions, you know. And at one point, the human asks the hydrogen guy, do you have any concept of God? You know, do you have any concept of a life force larger than you? And at somehow the hydrogen guy says, we do. He says that it's, you know, it's a some sort of a spiritual force that they believe in, too. So that was the theme of the show. And it would have been fantastic had it ended right there. But no, it didn't.
What happened?
Somehow the hydrogen guy is able to make his way onto Earth, getting through this telecommunicator that he was talking to the guy. And the next thing you know, you have this floating, gaseous, you know, and of course, the special effects TV version, 1963 TV version. So it's pretty cheesy, you know.
Are you kidding me, man? What did I do?
Oh, so this guy, the hydrogen guy, gets loose in the neighborhood. I seem to remember this guy floating down a street, you know.
Yeah, probably with what little kid get his baseball stolen or something.
Whatever, bud. So, yeah, I seem to recall this hydrogen guy floating down a street. Who knows? Back in those days in the science fiction movies, how did they deal with guys from other planets? They brought in the army, you know, and an anti-aircraft, some kind of artillery. All right, we got to get the army. Remember all those movies? They'd have all these army guys, all these trucks, and all these soldiers, and they always had the artillery. That's what you got to have, you know, to blow the monster up. So check that one out, man. All right, anyway, so they're looking for this planet, and if they find it, I guess they'll let us know. It was launched on March the 6th, 2009. It's the Kepler Space Telescope. It's named after astronomer Johannes Kepler, who developed the laws of planetary motion. It's the largest telescope launched into deep space beyond Earth's orbit. Kepler is the best little planet finder ever made, said Dr. Hunter, so that's what they're looking for. All right, we're going to come back with more news here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We'll see how Newt's doing. He's defending Donald Trump as a moderator for a debate that Ron Paul wants nothing, I mean nothing, to do with. And, oh, the news is so wonderful. Rosie O'Donnell is engaged.
To what?
She's engaged. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Good to have you with us here this evening. Now, as a part of our introducing you to our new download feature over there at philhenryshow.com, what I was going to do this evening, and we are now finally able to do that, as a matter of fact, as soon as I loaded the CD in there, bud, iTunes took over and has imported the whole CD.
Look at all those green check marks and stuff.
Exactly. Now, this CD is available for download at philhenryshow.com. It's also available by individual track. Now, this is one of my favorites, and I'm going to play it for you right now. It is a track that spoofs the late, great Jim Mandich and the currently great and still alive Kim Bocamper. It's called Cooking with Jim Mandich, and he was a Dolphin tight end, as I mentioned, is a sportscaster with us. And Kim is the slower sounding guy. Kim's a big dude. He's not dumb, but he just, you know, I don't know.
Sounded dumb.
He didn't sound dumb, but just the two of them together was fantastic. So here is then Cooking with Jim Mandich. The Phil Henry Show now presents Cooking with Mandich and Bocamper.
Greatest football team. We take the ball.
Another tasty recipe like no from the cookbook of Jim Mandich, former Dolphin great, and Kim Bocamper, former Dolphin great,
and when you
current broadcasting great.
You're talking Super Bowl.
Now let's go into the kitchen with Jim Mandich and Kim Bocamper.
Good evening, everyone. This is Jim Mandich and we're in the WIOD. That's right, Kim. Just cut that very fine chunks there. Those are celery sticks that we're going to be using. And I like celery. A lot of people badmouth celery. I'll tell you right now, I'm going to bang on this all year. I like celery. Anybody badmouth celery in front of me, and I'll tell you, friend, you're going to be disappointed. Kim, are you doing all right with that?
Yeah, I'll tell you. You know, I really like celery, too.
All right, Dad. We don't want your opinion. I'm just asking you, are you cutting the celery up?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, Jim.
All right. Kim Bocamper, great Dolphin. Now, the other thing that we're going to do tonight is we're going to have...
Well, what about me?
What do you mean, what about you?
What about the Kim Bocamper recipe that you said we were going to be able to do?
Oh, God, that's right. All right, what recipe? Well, we got to have to do Kim's recipe tonight. I'm sorry, Kim. I forgot about that. what is the Kimbo Camper recipe at for tonight?
Well, I'll tell you right now, a thing that I used to like and a thing that really beefed me up so I could play with the big boys is something that my grandmother always made for us. And I think you're going to enjoy this, Jim. I think the people at home are going to enjoy it, too. It's called a Nana Sandwich.
What'd you call that again?
A Nana Sandwich.
It's called a Nana Sandwich. What is a Nana Sandwich?
Well, a lot of people know it as a Nanner Sandwich, a Nana Sandwich. And you take a Nanner and you...
Yeah, what do you mean, what is a Nanner? I'm going to take a Nanner. What is a Nanner?
Well, it's a banana.
You mind if we call it a banana? Do we have to call it a Nanner?
You know, you better beef up.
Yeah, I'll beef up later. What are you going to do with this Nanner?
Well, it's a Nanner sandwich, and you put it right here. You squish it between the bread, and then, you see, isn't that nice?
Oh, God, I want to vomit. I want to vomit. You squish the Nanner in there?
And then you just put a match to the gas stove.
Oh, no, don't do that. Don't do...
I don't know. I like that bit.
Pretty funny.
Well, anyway, so that's Jim Mandich, and, you know. Now, here is one that you guys might find interesting. This is Steve Bozell. Before he was Steve Bozell, this is when he was called Steve Warnell. And here he is engaging some caller about something. I forget what the topic was, but it had to do with football, maybe. And that was always the topic in South Florida. We were always talking Dolphins and, you know, and our audience was, it's Miami, you know. And Miami does not, they don't get tense about the rest of the crap that the country does with everybody's worrying about the president. When you're in Miami, what you want to talk about is partying, football, and things like that. So... here is a bit called Steve Warnell. This was when Steve was not the crybaby that he is in Corona, California. This is when he was a Dallas businessman, and he's talking to this caller about, let's see what he's talking about.
Sir?
Yes, sir.
Listen, I'm new in town. I just got here like in June, July,
mm-hmm.
and I just started listening. And I don't know who you are, but I've listened to the Dolphins over the last 5-6 years, and you're a moron. I'm sorry, sir.
I've been covering professional football for 25 years.
Where, in the CFL?
No, in the United States of America.
Yeah, okay? In the American, probably arena football.
Now there's where Dan Marino would be good.
In arena football?
You're a moron. Nobody here in South Florida wants to listen to you.
Hey, listen, you clown. You've only been here 2 months yourself. So
well, that's right, but at least I know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, why don't you kiss up to all the Dolphin fans out there? I tell the truth.
Hey, I can care less.
You're trying to get in good with all them Dolphin fans.
Hey, I'm a Dallas fan.
All right, let's not get argumentative.
I'm a Dallas fan, and I know more about football than you do, and I know all about I know about those Dallas rings.
You couldn't possibly, yeah, and that's the whole thing about Jimmy Johnson.
But you're not telling the truth.
I am telling the truth. I know Jimmy Johnson personally. I've been over to my house.
I've seen the ring. I've seen the ring, and he handed it to me, and I looked at it.
Uh-huh.
And it had nothing in the ring about something about a duplicate copy?
It was owner's copy.
No way.
Get out of here.
No way.
I don't know what he's talking about. I don't know
who to believe here.
Well, you should believe me.
Wait a minute.
What?
You don't know me. I'm a disinterested party here. You have no idea who I am. I could care less about this moron, this idiot.
You can call me sticks and stones can break my bones, but we're
right.
But I'll tell you something right now. I saw Jimmy's ring.
Well, first of all, it wasn't Jimmy's ring that you saw. That's number one.
I did. He just got it in the mail.
It came in the mail.
Yeah, well, they did deliver it from Dallas, right?
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Pick it up in person
with a 29-cent stamp on it, right?
No, it came in shirt. You're the moron.
No, I don't want to talk to you. Hang up the phone.
Do you know?
Hang up the phone.
All right, I gotta run. I gotta go. Somebody's gotta go. Notice my voice.
Yeah, that sounds speeded up.
No, that's not speeded up. That's what my voice sounded like. That's 1994. I was 42. Wait a minute. Yeah. 42. I was 41. Something like that. Yeah. But it's funny how your voice, man, it's weird. All right. We'll be right back. The world famous Phil Henry Show. That's a cut from our 1994 CD. Best of the Phil Henry Show CD. Steve Warnell.
Woo. Phil Henry.
Sound young,
Leonardo. Yeah, I did sound young, and the human voice, it's amazing. I can listen. I've got tapes of myself when I was 16, and I don't know if anybody listening, I don't know if you guys have audio tapes of yourself. Most people don't like to hear themselves on tape. First of all, most people don't like to hear themselves on tape because they don't realize that's how they sound, you know. But you've heard yourself on tape.
Yeah, it's pretty much how I sound.
You, Robert?
I didn't like it at first.
But you came to realize that's how you sound.
Yeah.
But I think because you guys are on the radio with me. But most people are not used to hearing their own voices that much. So when they do, it really bums them out because I think we hear our voices through our skull. That's you know.
What do you mean?
When you hear your voice just now talking, say something, Bud.
Hi, I'm Bud Dickman.
Okay, what you just heard there is coming through your skull.
Not my mouth.
It's coming out of your mouth, yeah, but it's also reverberating through your skull, and it is reverberating through the skull into the ears. It's also being heard by way of the sound waves in the air, but there's much more of a sound apparatus at work there, and so you sound a certain way. In your whole life, when you talk, you hear your voice through not only your ears, but you hear a sort of background reverberation that is going through the literally through your skull. So you sound slightly different when you're talking to yourself than you do when you hear yourself on a tape recording. The tape recording of yourself is the accurate sound of your voice. And a lot of people are disquieted by it. They don't like the way they sound. I had a friend of mine who was born in Iran, but she was raised in London, England. And her father was very wealthy, and he used to work for the Shah of Iran, so... You know,
you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. Her old man was loaded, and he worked for the Shah, and he got the family out of Iran before the whole thing went down. And anyway, she was raised in London and boarding schools in London. And then later on, after she left the boarding schools, she went to London and became a music promoter. And she was in the clubs there, and she was with a lot of groups. She promoted Culture Club and groups like that before they really took off. But she had this finishing school British accent, whereas most of the kids that she was hanging with were all these sort of Cockneys, you know, and they were kind of lower-class kids. She had this finishing school, higher education British accent, and she hated it.
Why?
Because she had made her sound. She said she heard herself on tape once, and she said, "Who is that cow?"
Cow?
Yeah. I mean, she didn't like the way she sounded. She thought she sounded pretentious and cow-like, you know.
Man, most people want to sound good. She didn't want to sound good, huh?
Well, to her, that wasn't sounding good. To her, that sounded... She sounded like some pretentious cow, yeah. So, there you go. You know, and yet, you know... She did. She had one of those accents, very, you know, very proper and all that. Well, you know, I think I'm going, you know, that kind of, I don't know how the hell they, you know, talk, but...
That, what you just did right there sounded like a guy that likes other guys, you know.
Why don't you shut up? A guy that likes other guys.
Well.
Anyway, Donald Trump and Newsmax, are hosting a debate in Iowa in the run-up to next month's primary season. Both Ron Paul and John Huntsman have turned down the reality TV show star's offer. Presumptive GOP frontrunner Newt Gingrich said he will attend the debate, however, and after a meeting with Trump has come to his future moderator's defense against the comments made by the Paul campaign. Guess the Ron Paul campaign thought it was too much of a clown act. I don't mind Trump. You know what I mind? Newsmax. That if ever there was a propaganda sheet, it was that and World Net Daily. Those two pretend to be actual wire service news agencies, actual valid news gathering organizations. They're not. They're propaganda sheets. I mean, you know, probably some people that like them would probably,
well, what do you call the New York Times, Phil?
I will give you this, that the New York Times is liberal, there's no question, but the New York Times actually reports news. You know, they actually have, well, here's what happened. Newsmax can't even do that. I don't think they have people that are qualified to do that. So after a nearly hour-long meeting at Trump Tower, Donald Trump and Newt Gingrich, and I'm sure they probably had finger sandwiches or something like that.
Yeah, I bet, man, when you meet at the Trump Tower, I bet you he served all kind of stuff, you know?
Yeah. You think they had lunch?
No question they had lunch. He probably, Donald Trump probably said, hey, Newt, baby. Brought him in, had a big spread. Probably had some damn good stuff going on there, man.
Boy, I like roast beef.
Roast beef, you name it. Why are we talking about that?
Because that's probably how he gets Newt Gingrich to be on a debate.
No, bud, I don't think he got Newt Gingrich to be on the debate because he served roast beef or had a big spread. I think he did because, hey, Donald Trump is the kind of guy that can, he commands attention. A lot of people like Donald Trump. I liked Donald Trump until he butchered alive his campaign chant. I couldn't believe how stupid he was. Donald Trump is a smart guy because he's made a lot of money and he understands business. He has a marvelous sense, I think, for, you know, obviously what is wrong with the country in terms of business and economics and what needs to be righted. But then when he decided to run for president, I don't know what happened to the guy. He just all of a sudden went dumb. He got a bad case of dumb. He decided that the very first thing he was going to do, after all of that great stuff he said about the Chinese and oil and self-sufficiency and the dollars and the trade and the this and the really great stuff, and I remember thinking, boy, this is for the first time here's a guy that's talking with authority about the economy. Now the guy decides he's going to run for president, and the first thing out of this guy's yap is the Obama birth certificate. And you may think that that was a great idea, and there's probably a lot of people that may think that that was a great idea, but here's one voter that it turned off, and guess what? Newsflash, a whole bunch of other people, too. What the hell are you doing, man? Why don't you let the other jackasses do that? Let the lightweights and the brain surgeons do that, okay? Let the silly people like whoever, who was on that birth certificate thing anyway?
I don't know, it's probably like Ron Paul, people like that.
I don't think Ron Paul was. Don't hang Ron Paul with that one. Romney, I think it was just a little flight of idiots, just enough of them to make it into an embarrassing thing, right? And sure enough, Trump goes for that. That was number one. I was stunned. I was stunned. I said, are you that pathetic? Do you need that? Are you kidding? Do you not think the American people are going to follow you when you talk about economics? I would have, and I'm not that bright. Believe me when I tell you, when it comes to this, economics, I'm not that bright, but I could follow what Donald Trump was talking about. There was that, and then, of course, the nail in the coffin was the night before Osama got taken out by the SEALs. Obama was at a dinner of some kind. And Trump was there. And I remember Trump staring Obama down while Obama was giving a series of comments as if, oh, man, I'm pissed off. And this guy, I'm going to hold him accountable. And he just looked humorless. And he might have even made some comments that really stuck it in his back that night as well. But he looked like, in my opinion, looked stupid. But maybe he still had credibility. But when the following evening arrived, that Sunday night, the 1st of May or whenever it was, when Obama announced that Osama bin Laden had been killed, that was the end for Trump. He was done. He was over and done with. That was it. Because, number one, Obama did something that Bush couldn't do and that every one of those humorless-looking clowns on the GOP side couldn't get done. And, you know, and I'm not saying that they could not have eventually, but Obama found Osama and killed the son of a bitch, right? And then, of course, the birth certificate thing became, I think he finally did, you know, get the birth certificate from Hawaii. But nonetheless, it was moot. And so that really took the wind right out of, and that was the end for Trump. He could have been the nominee of the Republican Party had he stuck to what he knew, which was the economics. And that was that's the single most important thing of the campaign. But this guy had to stray into Obama birth certificate territory. What a jackball.
Man, I didn't even think about it that way.
Now you put it that way, man, now it all begins to add up, you know.
All begins to add up.
Yeah. I mean, before, you know, I was wondering, well, what's wrong with this guy? And then what you just said right now, well, I tell you, that was all she wrote. You know?
Hey, don't play those. I'll play those.
What?
This. I'll do that. And so, Donald Trump was finished. Thank you. Anyway.
I did better.
Fine. I'm actually very surprised that one of my friends, this is Newt Gingrich talking about Ron Paul, after Newt Gingrich sat down and had lean roast beef and whatever the hell else he had there with Trump. And Ron Paul said that he did not want to be a part of this thing because he didn't want to be a part of a circus atmosphere. Eh, I don't know. Would it be? Well, with Donald Trump moderating it, it could very well be, because what do you think of the odds that Donald Trump is going to keep his ego out of this thing, and he's not going to be, you know, cutting a few jokes, you know?
Well, he might have a couple of lines, you know, do a little patter.
It's wrong with, he's probably going to want to do patter in between. Patter? Are you serious, man? This guy, it's a debate. This is not a nightclub act.
Well, he's going to do a little bit of patter. Yeah, he's got to do some fill.
He's going to do fill. All he has to do is ask the questions. Anyway, Gingrich was upset with Ron Paul. He said, I'm actually very surprised that one of my friends would have said that. Gingrich talking about Ron Paul as his friend, which of course is a lie. I'm kidding. Yeah, I'm sure they're friends. I don't know. He says, this is a country of enormously wide open talent. You know, Donald Trump is a great showman. He's also a great businessman. I think that we have to be open to new ways of doing things and new ways of approaching things. He noted that an actor who appeared with a chimpanzee in the movies became president.
Who's that?
Ronald Reagan.
Really?
Yeah, Bonzo. Bedtime for Bonzo. You never heard of Bonzo?
Oh, yeah. Was that the monkey?
That was the monkey.
I was thinking of another kind of monkey.
I'm going to... Come on. All right, watch it. Watch it. Everything with you, bud, is race. Race, 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 race.
Can't let certain opportunities pass up. I'll kick your ass, man. We'll see how many opportunities pass you up then.
Take it easy, okay? He added, I thought it was great when we agreed to do it. It's part of the process by which Americans choose. Will the rest of the candidates meet with Trump before the debate as well? It is a standard practice to meet and greet with the debate moderator before the show starts. And perhaps most importantly, can Trump fire someone at the end of the debate? Ha, 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 ha. All right. So there you have it. That is the Donald Trump debate sponsored with Newsmax. Ron Paul will not be there. John Huntsman won't be there. And John Huntsman's one of those guys. More and more I appreciate why some of these guys get into the campaign, you know. I don't really think, I think that the Barack Obama showed us that there's a reason why these people who we would call dark horses or long shots, there's a reason why they get into the campaign, because many times a party finds itself deadlocked or unable to decide disenchanted with the front runners. They realize what the other party is doing, maybe getting a little bit of position on them. They may be getting behind the ball. They may need to change something. They may need to freshen things up. That's why you have these other candidates, so that you can look at the back of the field and say, wait a second, maybe our guy is back here someplace and not these two clowns that we've been, you know. And Hillary Clinton, and of course the voters are the ones that decide this, at least the hardcore voters. Keep in mind, in primaries, and you guys know this, in primaries, the hardcore, the real hardcore members of the party vote. The real ideologically, you know, entrenched people in that party vote. That's why you get, in a Republican Party, you will get a real extreme case like a Pat Buchanan showing just phenomenally during the primaries. But eventually, as the masses of people get to know him, he starts to fade. Buchanan thought he was going to lead a second American Revolution. I remember when Buchanan thought, man, it's all over now, baby. We are onward and upward to the White House. He got his ass handed to him after, you know, that cheap early power that he had. That, it turns out, same thing with Hillary Clinton. So that's why it's always good to look at these guys. Huntsman. Ron Paul, I don't know. I don't think so. But hey, you know.
They may think Ron Paul's good because he's been doing it a lot.
Who cares about that? Just a guy's running for, guy's a professional candidate. Yeah, that's great. No, I don't think it'll be Ron Paul. If they ever went to a guy that's in the back of the pack right now, you know, it could be any one of a number of people. Maybe Romney, by the time they're looking for somebody in the back of the pack, maybe he'll be in the back of the pack. Who knows? All right, we'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Back in the pack.
After these words from your and our sponsors. Don't forget, philhenryshow.com.
Woo. Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard with us here in our news and information hour. Now, this is, I love these stories. Fox accuses the Muppets of brainwashing kids against the rich. Now, this is the kind of thing that makes the news and really shouldn't, because it's all it is a story about a commentator on Fox News, on Fox Business News, that was commenting on the Muppets movie. And people may think it was a stupid commentary, and we'll tell you what the essence of his commentary was. Or some people might think it's dead on. But why is this a news story? It's a news story because, folks, you and I have been forced. We've been forced. Now, this is a news story. I'm not talking about commentary. I'm not talking about entertainment. I'm not talking about, like, the fights that talk show hosts have where you can ignore it. Who cares? Because it's silly and sort of part of the entertainment. But when a news guy, okay, is being very, very serious, a news commentator is being very, very serious about a movie and is making a comment about that movie, and he sounds like a jackass, why do you and I have to why are we brought into this as spectators of a news event? I thought it was a comment that this guy made. But this particular news gathering agency, and I think it's Business and Financial News, U.S. and International News from the Business and Financial News of Reuters, They've turned this into a news story. Hey, look at this. Eric Bolling of Fox Business News sounds like a jackass. What do you think? Well, why do you care? Because he's right. Aha! Right winger. So you got a problem with that. So what are you doing, Reuters? Now you're keeping tabs on all the right wingers? You know, maybe you ought to go back to using carrier pigeons or something, man. You guys were way more interesting back then. Anyway, on Fox Business Channel, anchor Eric Bolling showed a clip. Do you see how seductive this is? I'm treating this like this is news. On Fox Business Channel, anchor Eric Bolling showed a clip of the new Disney movie and suggested, well, no, he said outright that the story was aimed at planting the seeds of class warfare among our precious children. This is the commentary of the writer. He didn't, I'm sure Mr. Bolling didn't say precious children, but whoever the smartass is that wrote this did. That's because the Muppet villain is an oil baron called Tex Richmond. Bolling said, what's actually going on there? Is liberal Hollywood using class warfare to brainwash our kids? Well, of course it is. They've been doing it for decades, rejoined Fox guest Don Gaynor. Hollywood, they hate the oil industry. They hate corporate America. Now, you can say what you want about that series of comments, and the Reuters commentator himself went on to make a few jokes and sarcastic asides aimed at, you know, reducing Mr. Bolling and Mr. Gaynor to the, you know, asinine spectacle that they probably made themselves. There's no, you know, I'm not going to take any sides here, but I personally probably would have thought twice before I made that kind of those series of comments. Boy, look at the Muppets, man. What are they doing? You know, I think I might have just, you know, take a chill, man. You know, just relax. But apparently, no. All right, so that's that. But the thing that is most unfair is that while Reuters is taking its shots at Fox Business News, and Fox Business News takes its shots at CNN, and CNN takes its shots at whoever, and whoever take, you and I have been forced along for the ride. We have to sit and we have to watch as these news organizations competing for our attention, our advertising dollar, and our patronage force us to accompany them on this childish ride that they're on, putting each other down. Okay, so Bolling said something stupid. Whatever. Why am I watching Fox Business News anyway? Because I want the business news. You might be able to say they're not doing enough business news, you know. But telling me about whether this guy's got an opinion, who cares, man? I mean, seriously. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show is produced by our good friend Dan Northcraft, as well as our good friend Mr. Fred Scotty. And, of course, the Phil Henry Show is online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com for all of your .com needs. Don't forget, it's the philhenryshow.com. That's where we go and sell our best of CDs. That's where we go to sell our best of everything, man. As far as I can tell, everything we do is just the best. We'll be back tonight. Thanks for hanging with us on this Monday night, the Phil Hendry Show, world famous.
Phil Hendry.